man. What's going on? You are locked into the after show for the 37th annual biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam, my personal favorite wrestling event of the year. Wrestling Inc. brings to you the A-Team. It's me, Global Boys, but I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the guy who's reading Arn Anderson's book. What the
dude, heck? There is nothing in here about his time in AEW.
Why would he talk about Armed Anderson?
I mean, this book came out in when? I don't even know. Shouldn't it say I have like the year somewhere in here?
George Ramos, everybody. Just hey, everyone. Getting himself into ingratiated into the books, man. I mean,
I feel like this is like self-published because it's got like nothing of what like a regular book has.
Yeah, that cover looks super self-published. I'm not even, yeah, that looks like I made it out there in word art, man. Let's be real. Let me just do the housekeeping real quick. Give it up to everyone in the chat right now from Facebook and YouTube and Twitch and X. You guys are going to give questions. We'll give you some answers. Let me know what you think about SummerSlam, because for me, like I said before, the top of the show, my favorite event of the year. So you know I'm already on cloud 10. We're going to break everything down just momentarily. George, talk to me. SummerSlam, Jelly Roll, thoughts about the thing overall?
Overall, I thought it was a fantastic show. This is going to be one of those shows that's going to really last the test of times in the annals, the good old-fashioned annals of pro wrestling.
The what wrestling?
The annals.
Oh, the annals.
What do you think I said?
Don't want to say.
I thought it was a fun show. However, I do want to, I mean, you already started off the show, so I do want to, a little after the start with a good old-fashioned trivia question.
Trivia question, hit me.
I feel like we need like a little sound effect, like trivia.
I don't have that.
Although go ahead.
The wrestling budget is like $0, bro.
I do want to sidetrack just a tad. I do, you know, in our ABTV days, I was a big fan of TK's boudoir little sound.
That's a deep crop. Yeah, TK's boudoir.
That was a great one. Shout out to Evan T Mac and TK Trinidad. But the trivia question, of course, I like to keep it related to whatever it is that we're covering. So it's going to be SummerSlam trivia. This is a question to everybody watching, everybody listening, on the iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify world, whatever we're on. And if you're watching us on YouTube live, you know, whether it's live or whether it's, you know, watching us hours from now, because we literally just finished watching SummerSlam. This is for all you guys. So stay tuned because you're going to get the answer. If you don't know it, you're going to get the answer at the end of the show. Aww. So my question is, there are two people, and it, you know, you'll get the points if you only get one, but there are two people in the history of SummerSlam, PLE, pay-per-view, whatever the hell you want to call them, that have won the Triple Crown championships at a SummerSlam. That means they at a SummerSlam they won the world / WWE / universe, whatever the hell you want to call it, the world title, the intercontinental title, and the tag team titles. Who are the only two people to win, not retain, not, you know, win a vacant match, to right. win brand new champion at SummerSlam, each Triple one of those H. belts?
Triple H.
Is that your answer?
That's one of my answers.
So my question for you is, when did Triple H win the WWE Tag Team Championships at a WrestleMania?
What was the two-man power trip? Was that during the summer? I don't remember.
That was at Judgment Day. That was Backlash. That was Backlash 2001.
Never mind then.
When did he win the world title at a SummerSlam?
Listen, man, don't try to nerd check me because I'll lose every time. I hate
Although he did win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania SummerSlam 98 in a ladder match against the final boss himself, Mr. The chairman of the board, whatever the hell.
I'm going to say the final boss is Mako Satomura. Let's keep it 100, but that's besides the point.
Yes, so everybody in the thing, Triple H, we already got some guesses, Triple H and Cena. That's wrong. But good guess, Stone Cold and Triple H. That is also wrong. But let's keep the guesses coming. We got about an hour that we're going to be talking about SummerSlam, maybe even
an hour.
Well, yeah. It was a 4-hour show. You know,
yes,
how do you talk about, you know, a 4-hour show in a 1-hour span? So we'll see how it goes. But either way, you guys are gonna get the answer. I will not come down. Thank you very much. You're gonna get the answer at the end of the show.
So he really loves trivia, guys. I mean, come on. You're out of order. But thoughts about the SummerSlam show itself, man? Are you a fan of events?
Big fan. Oh, overall, yeah. I'm a big SummerSlam mark, I guess you can say. I'm, you know, we all hold WrestleMania near and dear to our hearts. But SummerSlam has always been that kind of, at least it's become in the recent years, kind of like a WrestleMania light in a good way. I've been saying this for years and years, and it looks like they're heading in this direction. I feel like they should treat SummerSlam how they treat the Olympics, where it needs to be the WrestleMania of the summer. Go to Tokyo, do the access thing, do the four-day weekend thing. Make it feel like it's really the biggest show, but overseas. I really don't think WrestleMania, and this is a whole another topic that I'm sure have been talked about many times. I don't think WrestleMania should be overseas. I think it should stay, domestic. Mm-hmm. But I think give SummerSlam, give Tokyo SummerSlam, give London, give Paris, give, you know, Berlin, give Mexico City.
Okay, so I got to ask that question then. But why then? SummerSlam. Isn't that a little arbitrary? Like, sorry, WrestleMania, you can't leave, but you, SummerSlam, you could go. Like,
I feel like with WrestleMania, it is that one event that I don't see myself waking up at 3 a.m. for. Maybe just because I'm so accustomed to it being at a 4 or 5 p.m. I just feel like that's that one show. It's like a Super Bowl being overseas. Like we're not really used to seeing the Super Bowl at 1 a.m. So I know that NFL is going overseas and they're doing a lot of games in Germany, Brazil, Mexico, all that jazz. And I'm okay with watching a regular season game at 6 a.m. or whenever it was, but I don't see myself watching the Super Bowl at, 8 p.m. at night. So I feel like there's one thing that should be a mainstay, and that's WrestleMania being at least domestic with, we'll give it to Canada. I don't know about Mexico, but I wouldn't. I'd love to. Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't really know what that market's like when it comes to those big shows. But, I'd say keep it there. There are rumors it's going to be in London at some point, but.
Yeah, or Saudi Arabia. I don't write the book, but I would say WrestleMania should be the classic wrestling show with all the storylines, and SummerSlam should be like the summer festival with like music acts and skills challenges and worlds collide and rookie matches to make it more of a fun festival atmosphere. And that could be anywhere.
Bring back Diva Dodgeball.
That's problematic, but I would definitely check out a dodgeball competition that was mixed. Why not? Yeah. So, yeah. All right, y'all.
That's my 2 cents on the SummerSlam spectacular.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the big part of the summer. When I was a kid, that was like the only one where you didn't have school the next day on the Sunday, so you get to go at your friend's house or stay over and make it a whole big thing. So that's the one that stuck with me the most, I think. See, even though WrestleMania is bigger, I'm a SummerSlam guy.
I feel like I'm aging myself, because I remember when I grew up, SummerSlam was on a Monday.
Yeah, you're old
and,
now.
So yeah, I am old. And I think it wasn't until like 95 or so where that was the first SummerSlam that was on a Sunday. So I'm accustomed like Survivor Series being on Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve. Mm-hmm. I'm accustomed to, SummerSlam on Monday. So,
but it would still apply though. If it's still a summer break and you don't have school the next day. And it's kind of
I remember school starting in September. So you're right about that. But nowadays, a lot of people start in August now, which is,
That's a whole different issue about turning our students into being learning vessels and just being drilled for exams. But that's another issue for another time. Let's talk about the main event here for SummerSlam. It's Cody Rhodes. It was also called Bloodline Rules. We didn't know what that meant at WrestleMania, and we definitely didn't know what it meant today. But it looked like an absolute train wreck. RKO, KO, Roman Reigns showed up, and he just speared the ever-living soul out of Solo Sikoa. George, a lot of people were saying that Roman Reigns was going to come. It was kind of a prediction slash spoiler. He did show up, but it was still pretty awesome. Thoughts about the match? Thoughts about how it ended?
So I like the match overall. The only thing about this match that kind of irked me a little bit was that whole Bloodline Rules aspect of the match, because what we saw at WrestleMania essentially was a blueprint for Bloodline Rules matches. So it felt like they were just kind of going through the motions, because we all knew something was going to happen. And a lot of us predicted correctly what was going to happen, but we all knew it was going to be something. So I feel like they were just kind of going through the motions. Great motions, by the way. I'm not saying going through the motions is a bad thing, but they were doing their thing, and then we enter Tama, and Tangaloa. Then we enter Jacob Fatu, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. So I feel like that's where kind of the match kicked it into high gear a little bit. You know, Jacob Fatu just being amazing. I'm hoping that he's not seriously hurt. I'm hoping that it's just, you know, working hurt, kind of give him a reason why he wasn't able to break the pinfall at the end is maybe. So I'm hoping that it just, you know, he's not seriously hurt. So I'm hoping they, you know, nothing aggravates that. But yeah, that, and by the way, like Roman coming back, yo, that theme song is a banger. Like, it looks like it was a little bit more. Yeah, it looks like it's a little bit more. Like, it's not the same exact song that he's been using for the last 3 years. So it looks like there was, you know, CFO, not CFO, who is it? Def Rubble was maybe in the studio for a little bit. But I'm digging it. It sounds a little bit more like, I always thought the beginning of it. You're a rap fan, right? Yeah. I always thought the beginning of it, and I've been dying to ask somebody this that's in the know. Because it's very reminiscent of "Hate Me Now" by Nas mm-hmm. and P. Diddy. Mm-hmm. Does the beginning remind you of that in any way?
It's the strings, but I think it's a different instrumentation. I don't think that was the point, but it was kind of but yeah. Yeah, it's a bit more uptempo.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little similarities when it comes to that. But for the most part, yeah, I thought it was great. I thought there was a what if kind of scenario thrown in there when it came to Roman Reigns. I mean, talking about throwing a wrench in it. What happens if Roman would have come out and helped Solo? Like, that right. would have completely, like, oh my God, like, we all thought one way, but either way, I'm happy with how it turned out. Roman looks absolutely fantastic. Like I said, I'm digging his walkout. I like how they kind of place it into the match. It didn't really need to be like, oh my God, everybody's jumping Cody and enter Roman for the save. I thought the timing of it was correct. I thought it was right. There was just, this was just great. The last 5-10 minutes was just fantastic, I thought, and kudos to everybody involved.
To your point about the walking down, a lot of Miami fans says this, can't give me pause. It says, I hated the announcers trying the WCW. Whose side is he on? That's where Roman was walking down. It was underwhelming. Thoughts about that?
I mean, I kind of thought, though, and when he came out with the OTC, my mind is like, OTC, what with OTC, over the counter, original tribal chief. And once I saw that, I'm like, all right, he's totally gonna attack Solo. This is gonna be a fun few months, or however long it's gonna be, as far as whether it's gonna lead into just War Games and it's gonna lead into WrestleMania. This is gonna be a great, fantastic, next era or next chapter of the storyline for the Bloodline.
Looks like a Bloodline Civil War is imminent, right? Solo Sikoa and his crew and Roman Reigns against the crew he has to assemble. But what does that leave Cody Rhodes, man? He needs a new challenger, I would assume. A whole new story in the meantime. Where would you put him?
I hear voices in my head. They call to me. They come, or however the song goes. I think it's going to be time for Randy Orton. It doesn't mean that I think Randy Orton should be like a full-fledged heel. Because I think that would be a big mistake. Even if that were to happen, I feel like they would probably still cheer Randy. So just kind of go with it. Maybe kind of an instance of where Sean turned on Hogan, and he was a heel for like a few weeks, but he was just like, hey man, I just needed to know. I just needed to find a reason to get in the ring with you. So I feel like maybe Randy comes out, RKOs him for, you know, whatever, and says, hey man, like, nothing personal, but we both know that when it comes to that WWE championship, nothing is off limits. So my guess is the next challenger would be Randy Orton. I am kind of curious what they are going to do with Cody and Roman, because if you notice, pretty much from when Roman did the spear, Cody did not take his eyes off Roman one bit.
Wouldn't either.
So clearly there's still more to that story. So I don't think Cody is completely done with the Bloodline, but I do think he's going to maybe step aside for a little bit in order for them to kind of settle out their differences that, you know, he doesn't, like, there's no point for the WWE champion to be an outsider for that story. But I do feel like there's going to be something where he comes in and maybe has a new challenger on the horizon.
Yeah, I'm with you too. We talk about strong title reigns, even though the story between Cody and Roman is actually one of the best ones of all time. You need more stories for people to go, oh wait, this guy is serious. You know, he's not just one person that has a single opponent. You know what I mean? And I think that Cody needs to go elsewhere, side missions and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the biggest concern, though, is, you know, Cody is the guy. You know, he is the top guy right now. And it's going to be hard trying to figure out, like, who's – there can only be one number one guy. Don't give me this BS about 1A or 1B. There can only be one number one guy. So how do you determine who the number one guy is? You know, so I feel like it's going to be like this kind of friendly competition of Cody really trying to, you know, find his footing on making sure that, hey, I'm digging what you guys are doing. Don't forget, but don't forget, don't forget who's the WWE champion.
Cody's like, far out, man. That's, yeah. I'm digging it. Suck up. Well, we got to move on because what happened at SummerSlam was interesting. It felt like a whole new chapter was turned. We had some title changes and some retentions, but the first retention was actually our first match of the evening. It was Rhea Ripley against Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan said her revenge tour was going to end, and well, it did. She retained her championship against bloody Rhea Ripley because Dominic got involved and Dominic turned on mommy. George, well, there was a match, there was a story, there was a shoulder pop. A whole lot of things happened in this one.
A whole lot of things. Again, I've said this many, many times and throughout the annals, right? The distinct annals is just because something is predictable doesn't mean it's bad. Because I think a lot of people called that it was going to be Liv retaining because of Dominic. With that said, I thought it was great. I thought once they turn it up the notch, once they kind of had that story of the separated shoulder and Rhea having to jam it back in on the announce table, you had the Dominic at factor, you had, and I liked that they kind of said that in the beginning too, when he took away the chair from Rhea and said like, wait, I thought you want to be champion. If you hit her, then you're not going to be champion. So that kind of added a whole, you know, extra layer and wrinkle to the match of like, oh, well, you know, he hasn't fully turned yet because he's got a good point on why he would take the chair away from Rhea. And that first oblivion by Liv Morgan, man, that was, oh my God, like talk about just finesse, the oblivion into the back roll, into the pin. That looked
the cinema. Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh my God. That looked beautiful. But then, yeah, once it turned up and even that element of doubt, when Dom put the chair in the ring and it could be argued like, wait, was that chair for Rhea? Was that chair for Liv? But then we all knew who it was for. Once the match ended and they gave the old smoochies to each other.
Okay, so here's the deal. It looked like Dom for a long time had an opportunity to close the window on Liv, didn't. So everyone's kind of thinking the turn. I felt like the whole world was going to see this happening, except for Rhea Ripley. I mean, are we just that far ahead of Rhea? She just believes in true love. I mean, if you want to think about it, she manipulated Dominic to be her boyfriend in the first place.
I think at some point we've all been blinded by certain things at some point in our lives. And just because this is on a huge platform doesn't make it any different. Doesn't make people immune to, you know, blindly falling in love. Even though when everybody around you is saying, hey, man, this is bad for you, this is toxic for you, you know, sometimes the heart just wants what it wants.
Wait. Are you waxing poetic about wrestling?
Absolutely. You know, shout out to Selena Gomez. I think she had a song called The Heart Wants What It Wants. I'm more interested, though, because, you know, again, I thought it was a great match, and just how they're going to follow everything up, even taking everything away from the Judgment Day on like a why. On like, why is Dom choosing Liv? And I think I'm going to make a little prediction here. You look at the way that Dom and Rhea got together. It was weeks and weeks and weeks of pure punishment from Rhea giving it to Dom. We all remember
undertones of sub-Dom. Sure.
Yeah, and there were all these things, and then, you know, calling, you know, her mommy and everything. What I would love to kind of, and I don't know how, you know, inside baseball they're going to do, what I would love for them to incorporate is saying, hey, listen, like, you know, we're in the Judgment Day. We do what we do. You know, I'm your number one. You're my number one. We always agree to that, right? We always, you know, Dom will go out there and be like, hey, Rhea, like, I know, you know, we do our things. But then about a week or two ago, I see that you got married. You know, we both had this kind of agreement like, hey, man, you know, do what you got to do. Leave it in private because, you know, we all know who the real mommy is. But, you know, so why should I stick with you if you're out there flaunting your love with some other person? Of course, I'm going to go after Liv, somebody who's been chasing me, somebody who's been wanting me, somebody who's been like texting me sweet nothings. Of course, I'm going to go after Liv, you know, somebody who doesn't sit there and makes me call her mommy.
You can't mention the husband.
She calls me daddy.
Okay. You can't mention a husband because he's not a contracted talent. right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's funny that you say that because that's the same thing. But then a couple months ago, they showed that like ringside from the UFC when you had like Rhea and Buddy Murphy right then being showcased on WWE Raw.
Yeah. So you're saying it's all fair game now? So
I think it's all fair game. I think they're going to maybe bring it up, maybe not pump too much effort in it or energy in it, but just say like, you know, I'm supposed to be your number one. I don't care what you do on the side, but no, I'm supposed to be your number one and you expect me to stay with you. So it just kind of goes. And I do like the element of like Liv promising she's literally going to take everything away from Rhea Ripley. And she's pretty much done that. So I'm kind of, I'm intrigued on what the next chapter is going to be. If she's going to stick around or if she's going to be champion after the Rhea chapter is closed, because I think there is a lot of money in this Liv Morgan championship run.
Speaking of questions and money, Ed Shields says something pretty poignant. I am confused. Why did Dom say he hated Liv Morgan last week?
Because bad guys lie, Ed Shields.
Wow.
Bad people lie. And it was all part of the facade. A wise man once said, it's a fugazi. Fugazi.
Who's that?
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, right. I was like, that sounded familiar. Yeah. Yes,
ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about the other side of JD, because it looks like the mega powers exploded, it seems like. In our World Heavyweight Championship match, there was talks about Damian Priest, talks about Gunter, Street Trash versus people fighting for what they want to. Damian had the stars aligned. It looked like he was going to retain, but all it took was a foot on the ropes from Finn Balor himself. And just like that, we have a new World Heavyweight Champion in Gunter.
Yeah, this was, oh my God, talk about a hard hitting match. Gunther slowly but surely turning himself into Mr. SummerSlam with that banger that he had last year. And you know, he had a banger this year, but man, like anytime I see like blood coming from chops, it even makes me squirm a little bit, because I've taken a chop and it hurts like hell.
Yeah,
but I've never been able to draw blood from it. So I can only imagine.
You sound disappointed about that.
No. Right. I mean, in a good way, because so I can imagine the pain that they're going through by a chop that actually does draw blood. And But what a great hard hitting physical. This match was everything I thought it was going to be. I just thought it was fantastic. I just thought Damian Priest brought it. Gunther brought it. It just, these two guys were just like, you know what? We're going to beat the hell out of each other. And you know, let's just, you know, put it all out there. But you know, Gunther's gonna have some kind of celebration over in regard to maybe it on Monday night. But obviously the bigger story is the implosion of the Judgment Day. Maybe took Raph, just maybe. But yeah, I'm really interested. Where does Carlito go? Where does we know where Finn Balor goes? Who's going to be, you know, Bloodline? Or, I'm sorry, who's going to be Judgment Day Black and White? Who's going to be Judgment Day Wolfpack? Yeah, so that's going to be fun. I mean, Damien and Rhea, do they recruit someone else? Is it going to be Finn, Liv, and Dominic? So, and I like that aspect of Damien just kind of being heated as far as, dude, where's Dominic? And, you know, like, dude, you got a world title match to focus on. So I am very much so looking forward to this week of WWE programming, because it's going to be a lot of good storytelling.
Yeah, time will tell how Judgment Day is going to shake out, because I've never seen a team break in two different ways from two different storylines. So if you're into the layer storytelling of this new era, I think you're going to be in for a treat, because this can have rippling effects to everything. It's almost like a comic book event. But let's talk about the match itself. I was a big fan of Gunther, big fan of NXT UK. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the UK style of wrestling was kind of like character-based, like WWE style, but still hard-hitting. This is what combat can be. Gunther, it looks like he's going to be that champion for a long time. Let me ask you this question. Probably a dumb question, but do you see Gunther as being the face of the Raw brand, especially as Netflix is on the horizon?
No, I think so, especially with Netflix being so international. It doesn't surprise me now that I think about it, now that you mentioned it, that, you know, the champion is going to be an international type wrestler, guy that's literally wrestled all over the world. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to be next. The question is, how long does he hold it for? Is this going to be, because Gunther don't hold no, he don't believe in short title reigns.
Yeah.
So,
hey, by the way, remember Imperium? That was a cool group, wasn't it?
Yeah. Where's Giovanni Vinci?
He got drafted to SmackDown. As for where is he now and why he's not on TV, I don't know. But SmackDown is moving to USA September 13th or 19th.
By the way, I have a little just a quick sidebar. I meant to mention it earlier. So at 8:03, and I'm sure a lot of people happened to a lot of people. At 8:03, WWE Shop emails me, and the headline or the subject is Roman Reigns returns at SummerSlam. I'm not always able to watch a PLE live, but man, like, don't spoil it in the headline. Don't spoil it in the subject line. Give me like, oh, get your SummerSlam gear. No,
they don't do that. They use a sport. When someone wins a Super Bowl, those Super Bowl emails go out instantaneously.
It shouldn't.
I mean, yes. Okay.
Like, what's your favorite show of all time?
Wow, that's a good question. Sitcom? I don't know. That's a hard question. I don't know.
Okay, what's your non-sitcom favorite show of all time?
The Shield was great, but I was like 15
years ago. God, The Shield is the best ever. But just imagine, like, right after the end of season 5, there's like a blast email that says, oh, by the way, RIP to Lem. And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't even got home and like watched the DVR, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Come on.
That's funny. Were there DVRs back then? No, there were TiVos back then.
So. Yeah, I haven't even been able to, you know, go back on my TiVo. Like, just don't be so immediate. Don't send the email right after the show's over.
I get it. I've been spoiled before. This is why I don't have ESPN notifications anymore when PLEs are on. But when any sport happens that break news like that, that's kind of how it rolls.
I remember another sidetrack. I wasn't able to watch Survivor Series live. I had to watch it, you know, a couple hours afterwards. And so when I go to Peacock so I can watch Survivor Series, not knowing what happened, all of you have Survivor Series, right? And watch it, like, you know, on Peacock, like, watch Survivor Series, watch past Survivor Series, watch these videos that were building up for Survivor Series. And then right under that, it was CM Punk, best in the world, best CM Punk matches, watch CM Punk's championship reign. I'm like, oh, well, I guess CM Punk came back. Thanks, Peacock.
Wow, that's different. I feel like that to me was kind of like, hey man, I avoided the notifications, I turned off my phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is different. But an email from WWE Shop as soon as the event's over, that's unfortunately fair game. Put your phone down. That's what I said it. I've just turned heel on this after show. But speaking of turning heel, let's talk about a US title matchup here. The Maverick Logan Paul, which, by the way, Prime is like dirt cheap now. What happened? No idea. Had a match against LA Knight, and it was going to be LA Knight's opportunity for his first title on the main roster and try as the Maverick could alongside with MGK, which I realize isn't Machine Gun Kelly anymore. It turns out it wasn't enough. We have a new U.S. champ. Yeah, it's LA Knight.
This match is great, by the way. LA Knight, we all know LA Knight can go, but man, like, Logan Paul just always continues to impress when it comes to things that he can do. And it's crazy because there was like an interview not too long ago, and everybody will say like, oh, well, of course his matches are great. He practices it all the time. He rehearses it on a regular basis. And I heard that, and I'm just like, that is probably, and I apologize, I'm probably going full heel here, that is probably one of the most moronic things that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Moronic?
Because here's there, people are sitting there saying, oh, Logan Paul practices his matches. Logan Paul, he just, they give him the match and he's at the PC practicing. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, there are full-time wrestlers that can't even do what he does.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's like, so Logan Paul is clearly like a part-time guy. He's got other things going on in his life, so whether it's doing Prime or Impulsive and other things. I'm like, so here's a part-time guy doing things that a full-time person can't. Like, your job, literally your job is just to be a pro wrestler. So what's preventing you from going to go practice the match? What's preventing you from learning how to do a springboard backwards moonsault,
Come on, George, you and I both know that if you do something that has any kind of soft skill, so if you're not like a blacksmith or anything, someone's going to look at that and go, oh, I can do that. You got lucky. How'd you get that job? Why are you in Wrestling Inc.? Why I can't do it? I'm not to defend Logan Paul, far from it. I'm just saying that's going to happen to anybody at some level. Remember Bad Bunny? Same deal.
Oh, that was a great match.
Matches,
but that bad match at Backlash was just, I have some inside story from that match, but that I can't I can't say on the air, Flobo. I can say it off the air,
you're such a heel. I got some information, but not tonight.
Well, that's code word. Wink, wink. I can tell you in private, but I can't, unfortunately, tell the whole world.
Ah, boo. All right, anyway, LA Knight, man. Like I always said, I think I said last night on the show, worked with Sean Ricker about 10, 15 years ago at Mach 1 Wrestling. Sorry to use a shoot name. Cool to see him come up, especially now that we're moving the perception of certain talent over the age of a certain age and ageism in professional wrestling. He's over the age of 40, looks like $1 million. The megastar had everybody singing. Can LA Knight be the guy to really put the United States Championship on a new direction?
I think so. I think he's so great. Everything he does just touches the gold. The thing that, and we've talked about this before, the want to know the best thing about LA Knight is that whether it was back then in Mach 1 and it was a 2010 or 2011, whether it was in TNA, whether it was some other time, whatever it was, he's always been the same guy. He's always had the same character. He stuck with it. And then look at it now. Like, talk about hard work. Talk about persistence. He wasn't like Joe Schmo just with some random. I mean, yeah, they try the whole $1 million gimmick for a little bit in NXT. But for the most part, like, whether it was TNA, dummy, yeah. Like, whether it was TNA, whether it was Championship Wrestling Hollywood, whether it was Mach 1, that guy's always been that person. He's always been great on the mic. He's always been just so great in many, many ways. And he's always had that same style of just being safe, but always going full balls to the wall in the ring. So kudos to LA Knight in every single way. I think July 4th, 2012, we actually partied together. There's a video out there somewhere of singing.
Hold on. Living on a prayer. Where did you party together?
I'll send you the video. It was like it's like there's a Twitter account called like the Yeah Movement or something like that, and it has a lot of cool accounts. But it has Sean Ricker singing "Living on a Prayer." I think they were doing like karaoke or Rock Band or one of those, and it was "Living on a Prayer." And I'm like, wait, I think I was here at this house party, and then the part where right before "Living on a Prayer," it cuts to me because I'm like "Living on a Prayer." So,
oh wow, and,
yeah,
I'll, an angel, man.
I'll try to find the video and I'll send it to you. But I think you'll get a pop knowing me and knowing your history with Sean Ricker, LA Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I was, this is actually not to name drop, but two summers ago at SummerSlam, they were doing photos with Maximum Male Models and then Austin Theory showed up. So the male models walked away and I was like, no, I need to talk with you guys. And I'm like, us? And I was like, Mach 1 Wrestling. And he was like, I don't know who that is, dummy. But he took my picture anyway. And then at the end of it, he goes, I remember you. You were the interviewer. I'm like, so cool. Didn't have to say that. Yeah. I'm a big fan forever. Him and Carmelo Hayes. I will do whatever I can. I'll run through a wall for those men based on that. So the match seems to me was not predictable, but it looked like going into it, Logan Paul was going to drop the title. Where does Logan Paul go from here?
Anything he wants to do. I think the guy literally can do anything he wants. He is just such a natural in the ring. If I'm going to take his word on everything that he's saying in regards to pro wrestling, because it seems like he really, really loves it. Dude, he can do anything he wants. I'd like to maybe give him like a fresh start, maybe go to Raw. He hasn't really done many things on Raw at all. So maybe that can a fresh paint a coat, I guess, as they like to say. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and anything he wants to do. I think there's a lot of still cool things. We've seen him do the Cody, the Roman, the LA Knight, the Ricochet. So maybe him and his brother come in, talk about something I don't want to see. But yeah, like I said, anything he wants to do. But either way, I know it's going to be great because Logan Paul always delivers.
All right, so let me turn this off. I'm going to put you on the solo screen just for a second because I want you to get the full floor here. You have the book. You are the booker. Who do you put LA Knight with and why?
There's still wow. If I would have known, I would have dressed up a little bit more. With that said, there is still looks like this lurking story with him and Carmelo Hayes. So that never really finished. So that's going to be something that we see. Maybe him and Andrade, because I don't really think you see Carmelo Hayes just automatically getting a US title shot after losing to Andrade. So maybe some kind of triple threat, maybe some kind of you know, there's other people, maybe Kevin Owens at some point tries to regain the US championship. My prediction is some point we're going to see him and Melo, but incorporate Andrade in there as well, since he holds a few victories over Melo.
I don't miss. What's up, fellas? What's going on, everybody? Trade Logan for Tozawa. That is definitely Jack Farmer. Is that you? What the heck? What is going on for me? Yeah, by the way, as I'm not sure if we've got to all of them yet, but what was your match of the night? Just as kind of a break in between here.
I'm going to have to go with Damian Priest and Gunther.
Okay, yeah, same here. I think that was pretty solid. I'm a big Gunther fan myself, and hopefully we have a whole new chapter of Rogues Galleries there. Shout out with Peter Joseph. Let's move on. On the other side of it, the Intercontinental Championship was also on the line, whereas we talked about Sami Zayn yesterday, but Sami Zayn had an opportunity to shut down Braun Breaker, the unpredictable badass, could not get it done. In dominating fashion, we have a brand new IC champ. Braun Breaker, my friend, George Hermosa, thoughts about this one?
It was fine. I wish it kind of meant a little bit more. I feel what? Like this match maybe was a little too short, getting it good. But I just feel like Sami Zayn ended a historic title reign at WrestleMania. And I think he had a great title reign. He had a lot of great matches with, you know, with the Braun Breaker, with Ilya, with, you know, Chad Gable, with Bronson Reed. He had a lot of great, great matches. And I just feel like for him to lose it, and like, I don't know how long the match was, but maybe he lost in like 10 minutes or so. Yep. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it should have meant more. I'm okay with Breaker winning because I predicted that happening last time on SmackDown. But I don't know. I just feel like, I'm like, wait, I feel like it could have been more. I feel like it could have been just something more. But again, I do feel like it's going to be Sami Zayn inserting himself some way in the Bloodline story. Because I don't see Braun Breaker just losing in a couple weeks. Right. I think gone are the Vince Russo Attitude Era days of just literally. I see there were like probably 19 different Intercontinental Championship reigns in 1999 alone. So I feel like those days are gone. With that said, you know, I'm excited for this Braun Breaker story. Him and Ilya, it's got a built-in story from what we saw a couple weeks ago. So that's going to be a fun match or a fun revisit that we see in a couple weeks. But either way, and did you see like the Steiner brothers were there celebrating?
So that was pretty cool. It was interesting because I think that's the first time they acknowledged the Steiners on the roster being related to Braun. But I don't know, what do you might want more? You want a stipulation? You want it to be a longer match? I mean, it was already a 4-hour show, which is pretty long for WWE these days. What would have made it better for you?
just a little bit more time, maybe like 3-4 minutes. Like, I'm kind of curious how long the match actually was, but I don't know, just maybe a little bit more back and forth. I just feel like for somebody to lose, somebody to beat, I mean, and again, remember like back when we were kids, I don't want this to be like, well, Braun Breaker beat Sami Zayn and Sami Zayn beat Gunther, so that must mean that Braun Breaker is better than Gunther. Like, I don't want it to be like something like that, but it's just something that would have meant more than beating the guy that beat the guy.
Okay. Well, Danny Cochran says, what's wrong with dominant wins, George? Braun's a great talent to build up.
There's nothing wrong with it. I just feel like this was like a historic title reign that we saw end, and I just would have liked a little bit more back and forth when it came to that match.
I did not think Sami Zayn's run was historic. I think Gunther's run was historic. If Gunther...
No. I'm not saying Sam. I meant Gunther's match. Gunther's reign.
That's what I'm saying. If Braun beat Gunther like how he beat Sami Zayn, I would say, okay, great. But it seemed very apparent that it was going to be transitional.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways. Because, I mean, we kind of saw something very similar last year. We saw Sami Zayn and KO literally defeat another historic reign in the Usos, and then them just kind of randomly lose it to the Judgment Day. And I feel like there was a lot more there, especially with Sami and KO when it came to the tag team division.
I felt like they had nowhere to go. I felt like they had the titles and it was cool. Then it was kind of like, well, you're the big face group and away from the bloodline. What's going on?
Well, this was back when the titles weren't split yet. So I feel like we saw them. We didn't really see them go back and forth. We just saw them maybe mostly on one brand on Raw. So I feel like it would have been nice for them to kind of go back and forth when essentially they were both the Raw and SmackDown tag team championships.
Yeah. Kind of a sidebar. How did you feel about that Manscaped promo this week?
I ordered my Manscaped right now and I can't wait till it comes.
There you have it. Was that an answer I was expecting? Shout out to Manscaped then. I don't know what's going on. They're not paying us. I'm not sure why I said that.
Not yet.
Yeah, they should. Moving on, we had another title match on the horizon. The WWE Women's title was on the line. Bayley, first Ballot Hall of Famer against Nia Jax. And, well, there was a time I thought Bayley was going to win. There was a time I thought Nia was going to win. It kind of went back and forth. How many annihilators? You can count it there from Nia Jax. She is our new WWE Women's Champion, but not before the appearance of one Tiffany Stratton teasing the cash in, the Money in the Bank.
I really liked the teasing. I thought it was a great way to kind of say, oh, hey, we're going to, you know, have Tiffany cash in. But it looks like it was just nothing but a distraction for Bayley. I think that was part of the plan the whole time. And I thought it was great. And I predicted yesterday, I didn't really see Tiffany get the briefcase just to end up cashing in like a day later. But with that said, I thought this was a great match. I thought this was a fantastic match. Both people delivered. I think Nia Jax has been absolutely amazing. If you didn't hear me say it yesterday on SmackDown, I'll say it again today. Nia Jax has been absolutely amazing since coming back to the WWE after getting released in like 2021. The only thing upset about the match itself was when Nia Jax went for the leg drop on the ring apron. And she didn't yell out my hole.
What the? You were looking for that? Wait a minute.
My hole.
I think most people are kind of in the same boat with you, giving Nia her flowers, which is definitely deserved. I thought she should have won at Elimination Chamber, but that's a very hot take besides the point. But Corey Price says this, Nia was the right decision, but I wish Bayley had a longer title run. I mean, to be fair, George, there was teasing Bayley and Bianca. There were teasing Bayley and Naomi. Didn't happen. What gives?
I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, gone are the days where we see like a quick title reign. So I'm kind of accustomed, and this has been happening for literally 37 years. Well, we see a title reign go from WrestleMania to SummerSlam. We saw it in 97 with Undertaker won it at WrestleMania and lost it at SummerSlam. We saw it in 92 when Bret won it at IC Belt in 9 and at WrestleMania and lost it at SummerSlam. I feel like SummerSlam is kind of the next chapter on where things happen. So I'm really okay with these things. Speaking of which, kind of another trivia question, but I'm not going to ask it. I'm going to give you the answer already. The last time that an Intercontinental Champion, somebody won the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania and then lose it on the following SummerSlam was 1992 Bret Hart. So wow, Sami Zayn is Sami Zayn is in good company. And just months later, Bret Hart became the WWE champion.
Does that count though? Because there wasn't a 12-month pay-per-view calendar then.
There was four.
But I wasn't 12. I mean, there's less wrestling.
I mean, they still had a lot of TV.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, they had their occasional Saturday night's main event, so that should count for something.
It does to me. I just kind of wonder, like, I feel like we should split the records when it's.
But I mean, if anything, I think it's more impressive because there's more TV shows where you can defend the championship. I can't name you a single championship title match on TV for Brett between Mania and SummerSlam in 92, but I can name a bunch for Sami Zayn. I'm sure he was killing it on the indie, not the indies. I'm sure he was killing it on the house show circuit. But again, it's not televised, so it didn't really count.
It never does. Well, I got to say congratulations to Nia Jax. I'm a big Bayley supporter, so I'm a little bummed about that, but I'm kind of seeing what's going to be next.
I do want to add one more quick thing. When Nia came out, holy moly, just this is like something that you can't really teach, but the confidence level, her look, her demeanor, I'm like, dude, this girl is something special. Whatever she was missing, you know, 10 years ago, when she was in NXT and, you know, early in the WWE, like whatever she didn't have now, she has it now. Like just when her posture, her look, her RBF that she had when she came out, I'm like, dude, like Nia Jax, dude, what she's become in the last decade is just astronomical. And I think she literally, like Fernando Zayas said, she deserves every kind of accolade that she's gotten in the last year.
With the king and queen of the ring both becoming new champions, has put a new found focus in the tournament.
I think so. I mean, it's kind of what we saw early on with the Money in the Bank. It was a good, like, what, 3-4 years, or maybe can't remember the exact year. 08, 09, probably to like 2012 was really the first time where we saw somebody unsuccessful when it comes to the cash in. So, you know, you got to kind of start off. You got to kind of want to make it mean something in the first couple years with the King of the Ring saying like, oh, well, you know, King of the Ring, when they went on to win challenge for the WWE Championship because of winning the tournament. Look what ended up happening. So I feel like you have to kind of set the precedence at first. Eventually, when we start, if this becomes a yearly thing, we're not going to see this happen every single time. But I do like, you know, the first two where it was really, really official become champions at SummerSlam.
We got to talk about it, man. We got to talk about it. It's the last match of the card. This one had no. Yeah, Jelly Roll was a great guy. You know what? I was thinking about having a list of artists I did not even know until wrestling introduced him to me. Like Jelly Roll or Kazmian, Poppy, Saliva. Like, these are all great stuff, man. Wrestling is just a great tastemaker when it comes to music.
I'm trying to think. Like, what else? This was Disturbed. No, Disturbed was a thing before. Or Limp Bizkit was a thing before. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot. Like, I had no idea who Def Rubble was before the WWE.
No one does. I think that was created.
I do want to say this just so I can sound important again. Like about 3-4 weeks ago, I worked on a commercial I think I signed an NDA, but whatever, who cares? I worked on a commercial.
Uh-oh.
And it was featuring Jelly Roll. And I'm going to give you guys a little secret. So whenever I work with a celebrity and I know there's some kind of wrestling affiliation, I always wear wrestling apparel because my dream, and I'll say what happened one time what didn't happen one time, is that celebrity sees my shirt or whatever I'm wearing. And then we become buddies. And then, you know, I'll join their crew. So I did a commercial with Bad Bunny in between the time that he did the Rumble and WrestleMania.
Damn.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to wear my WrestleMania sweater. He's going to see it. He's going to say, nice shirt, bro. You know, you like wrestling. And I'll be like, yeah, I love wrestling. And then we'd become buddies. And then, you know, I'm going to be friends with Damian Priest and then whatever, you know. But yeah, all of that did not happen. But it happened with Jelly Roll. So I wore, and this was toward the end of the day where he was already kind of shot whatever he needed to shoot. I am very special at Shields. And he shot whatever he needed to shoot. And then he's like, you know, leaving his trailer. And I'm like, oh, you know, thank you for being here, man. It was a lot of fun. He goes, oh man, dude, I love your shirt, man. I love your sweater. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. Like, yeah, man, I'm doing something with them on SummerSlam. Like, man, it's just like a dream come true. Like, it's literally a lifelong dream. And I'm like, I was like, oh, no way. Like, this was before they even announced anything Jelly Roll affiliation with SummerSlam. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do a couple songs. I'm even going to get involved, like, you know, getting physical. I'm like, man, it's like, dude, he was like, I was just chilling with Hogan and Flair last night. Man, it was just a lot of fun. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like, you know, give it the old fist bump. I didn't ask for a picture, unfortunately, because I like how my hair looked that day. But
what is going on with the story, bro?
But yeah, it's always pretty cool when you kind of see something like this happen. And you were kind of like one of the first people to know outside of that wrestling world that, you know, this was going to happen. So when I saw it happen, I'm like, oh, look at that. So that's essentially what ended up happening. Did something, did a couple songs, and delivered a great chokeslam, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Great, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, exquisite. Mwah. Yeah. You know, but anytime down under, once you can do that bit with the guest of the week, you are pretty much solidified. Am I right?
Yeah. 1000%. And I absolutely popped huge, unbelievably huge when R-Truth called them the Rock and Roll Express.
I know you would. They did it for
that me. Was hilarious.
Thing is, they're actually still around. So I thought they were going to show up, right?
I thought so too. I thought they were gonna... Yeah.
Oh. I guess we can talk about Punk and Drew, by the way. Sorry, Jelly Roll. We got to move on to something else. This one had no titles in the line, but it had all the implications. DM Hunk, CM Punk going back and forth for months. Seth Rollins was calling it down the middle, but I guess emotions ran high with bracelets. And, well, CM Punk took the L this week. Were you surprised?
I am not surprised that he took the L, but I do want to add something quick before I talk about the match. And this is my hot take. I'm going to die on this sword for life. I feel like there's too many title matches on PLEs.
With SummerSlam, this one should have all the title matches.
No, I don't think it should. I think it should be just some matches. But I feel like there should be more matches that mean something that don't have a title implication.
Okay, but this one qualifies, right?
I mean, this one qualifies. I just feel like I don't like there only being one match that doesn't have a title on the line.
Okay.
I just wish there was more.
I'm with you, but I'm like, I'm looking at the up and down the cards on both shows. Like, what would you put in exchange? Would you like?
No. Or even add on. Maybe like, I mean, again, I feel like for you, not obviously their shows are normally under 3 hours. This is SummerSlam. So to the point where you had a 3 hour pre-show and a 4 hour regular show. So, you know, you can't really do maybe add on an extra half hour. But for the most part, I don't know. Like, everything fit. Everything had a purpose. You know, you had both world title matches. You had both women's world title matches. You had both mid-card championship matches. I don't know. I just feel like there's just a lot of championships being defended on PLEs and not enough non-title matches.
Okay, so about today's long title. Look, I'm with you, and I think on a three-hour show, sometimes things can be very arbitrary, but almost every title match this go-around had a storyline element beyond the actual strap. I guess the tag team match didn't. That's why it was on Friday, the DIY Bloodline one, but like the Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley was like a bonus that it was a title match.
Even though I'm loving that was a title match, because I think Liv Morgan is doing the absolute best work of her career, and Rhea Ripley is just, I mean, Rhea's Rhea. It was to the point where that would have been easily a big high-profile match, even if it wasn't for the title. I'm not saying take away the title. I'm not saying Liv should have dropped it. I'm just saying that's how great that feud was. With that said, that a match like that belongs on a PLE. Right? Okay. But I feel like maybe even like a Bayley and Nia, where it was like, well, no,
she won the King of the Ring. Like, I agree with you, but she won the King. You can't not do that. Yeah. She won the gimmick. Anyway, Punk and Drew, thoughts about the match? A lot of people said it sold the show. Punk takes the L, Drew McIntyre takes a dub, and Seth Rollins still doesn't like CM Punk. What?
I mean, why would he? Although I said that Priest and Gunther had the absolute best match of the card. That I'm not disagreeing with you, Ed Shields.
Sorry, jump in here. Shout out to John Jordan, who's in the chat, man. You gotta check him out also on Link Wrestling Inc. I didn't give him a shout out, but
the real Double J, by the way.
Ain't he great?
But yeah, even though Priest and Gunther had the best match, the second best match also 1000% delivered in every single way. These two just kind of brought it there. I do want to ask you something specific, Flobo. At any points And I love CM Punk. I think he's great.
Do you?
Do you kind of cringe when he wrestles? Not in a bad way. In the sense of like he's a bad wrestler. But I'm like,
no, I do.
Oh, I hope he doesn't get hurt again.
No, I do. I do. I think. I think when he was younger and even more virile, his moves were kind of like, not saying super strong, but he was lifting guys over his shoulder. The Anaconda Vice looked difficult. Now with this history, with his injury history, I think most of Twitter were like, man, just get out of this safe. And I understand if you were reading that, it might be discouraging. But I do think it helps me to be invested in Punk's matches now because mm-hmm. the tricep was taped up. It was like, it looked like anything can snap at any moment. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%. I do want to say, it was a great match. I thought it was fantastic. And it's funny, like, it seems like people forget that, like, that last run in AEW, he was, like, wrestling, like, everyone. And he seemed perfectly mm-hmm. fine. Like, there was no sense of, like, oh, CM, you know, or I'm sorry, everybody was like, oh, CM Punk's back. I forgot who the guy that he faced at Forbidden Door, but he was having great matches with Ricky Starks. He had a great match with Samoa Joe at All In. And nobody thought he was, like, made of glass. I mean, everybody was like, oh, yeah, he's back. And then one freak injury at Royal Rumble, like, oh, he's made of glass. So it's crazy.
Well, he had the foot injury in AEW. And AEW had the foot injury. Remember when he came back from the injury, hurt his foot in his return in Inglewood, and then was out again. And it was like, oh, no.
but like he came back after that and was like just as good as ever. Right. And it's not like he left AEW injured. He left after having a killer match with Samoa Joe.
You know what they say, like two things is a coincidence, three is a pattern. Well, for wrestling fans, if it happens twice, it's your thing. People think Nia is still unsafe. They think Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné is unsafe. They say Nikita Lyons has terrible legs because she's torn her ACL twice. I think you have two injuries back to back. Punk can like lift Volvos from now on, but he's gonna be like, well, he's kind of old.
You know who is made of glass?
Who that?
I mean, this is a non wrestling reference.
Oof, Mike Trout. Yeah, he's out with a torn meniscus. Yeah,
man, that is, like that's Mike Trout is a CM Punk of baseball.
That is pretty accurate. Yeah,
just to kind of tie it into wrestling. But man, like talk about this is a guy that literally, and anybody that doesn't watch baseball, I understand, but anybody that does, he could have been the absolute best baseball player of all time if he just maybe would have even made half the games that he missed out on.
True.
Like that guy was a generational talent, but
I digress. But Justin Marie says he was wrestling every week on Collision and some Rampage as well. I saw a great match between him and Ricky Starks last year. So that clock spot. I mean, when you pay Punk that much money when you're Tony Khan, you put him in an 805 spot, the one that Orange Cassidy does to get everyone seated for the show. So at the 805 spot's pretty important. But to me, the match was pretty solid. I love the story here too. Drew McIntyre is on a tear. Seth Rollins was impartial because he hated everyone, but it kind of picked his poison. And of course, the necklace is still in CM Punk's possession or bracelet. Great. Excuse me.
I love the story, and this is just adding so many layers to this story. And I'm really curious what the next chapter is going to be because it's not like the book is closed in any way. You still have a lot of lingering, rivalries kind of going on. Maybe like a little less with Rollins and McIntyre, but more so with Punk with both guys. But everything that was Drew McIntyre's downfall was his own self, right? He was the one that was overly celebrating WrestleMania. He was the one that kind of did everything to Punk and kind of called his shot maybe when he shouldn't have, right? He's his own worst enemy. And then this is exactly what happened with CM Punk. He had every opportunity to win the match, but you know he was blinded by the bracelet. He saw like, wait, I had my chance at submitting McIntyre, but I need to get the bracelet, right? I had my chance at giving him a GTS, but wait, why is Seth Rollins wearing my bracelet? Like, I like that aspect of the story where everything that CM Punk said Drew was doing, now CM Punk was doing himself. So I cannot emphasize just how much I'm loving the story. I think this match was phenomenal. I think it added so much more and made me, I think Raw is going to be so amazing when it comes to this fallout of SummerSlam. I think there's so much to look forward to.
Yeah, Raw's going to be stacked. Plus, the Wyatt Six are still in it as well. Let's see. Stephen Camp says, I almost thought Drew was going to break the bracelet over Punk after he won the match. I think he should have, but and there's still room to do that elsewhere. You know what I mean? Especially if you want to have that be a storyline thread. If AJ agrees to be on camera, it could be a cool thing for them.
I would have loved. And I get it. You know, there's more to the story. But if he would have done that on Raw, if they were face to face, they say, like, you know, they can't touch each other till the bell rings, and he gets in his face and just gets the bracelet and just tears it apart in his face. That I thought would have added so much more depth to the story. But again, you know, doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean what they did is wrong. And I feel like it's there's good things more to come.
Yeah, definitely. And this one, SummerSlam, as a big SummerSlam mark that I am, gave me a fantastic show top to bottom. The pacing was a little slow, but I still enjoyed it. Before we go through the whole wrap-up stuff, give me that trivia answer, man. I'm just dying to hear the answer to this one.
I almost forgot about that. I want to see if anybody guessed. I didn't really see anybody answer it correctly. I saw like a lot of guesses. John Cena is never the Intercontinental Champion, so that would automatically not qualify for him not being a Triple Crown winner. But there's two answers. So again, to remind everybody, the actual trivia question: which two wrestlers have won the Triple Crown, which is the world title, the IC title, and the Tag Team Championships at a SummerSlam?
Sheamus.
Not Regain. Sheamus has never been IC champion, and you know that.
Yeah, I know.
Jericho has never won a world title at a SummerSlam. So, no, that is incorrect, but good guess.
Hey, guys.
The first correct answer is
Goldberg. What are you doing?
I only have enough room to do it. I guess
Batista. What the hell is that?
No, Batista doesn't exist.
Okay, what were you doing? Are you?
No, I guess I only have enough room to do it. But I guess maybe if I had the full screen, it'd be easier. But I think it probably would be better if I was wearing pink and black, because the Hart Foundation won the tag belts at SummerSlam '90. The Bret Hart won the IC belt at SummerSlam '91, and he won the WWE title at SummerSlam 1997.
Who's next? Canadian guy.
Blah. Yeah, who's next is somebody that we saw on SummerSlam this year.
X-Pac.
Oh yeah, how'd you know?
Did he really?
No.
World champion X-Pac? That's
World champion. The WWE champion, the 1-2-3 kid. I see a fly. He won the tag team champions chips. I want to say SummerSlam 2017. Yeah, he won that Silver Summit 2017 against Brooklyn, right? Against the Bar. He won the IC belt, the Intercontinental Championship, at SummerSlam 2018 against Dolph Ziggler, and he won the Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 2019.
Goldberg.
He is Seth Friggin Rollins. That's the only Goldberg, two people to win the Triple Crown at a SummerSlam.
Bret Hart and Seth Rollins. That's pretty
good. Bret Hart and Seth Rollins.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that at all. I would have made it a total embarrassing moment for me on my wrestling fandom. So thanks.
And then if we end up doing Bash at Berlin, then I can't wait to give you a nice Bash at Berlin related trivia question for all one of the shows.
It's funny because
that has in the history.
There's like German wrestlers and stuff. My first thought went to Ludwig Borga, who isn't even German.
He was from Helsinki.
Finland. Yeah, I know. So I'm saying, why is my brain going to the Finnish guy? Finnish guy? I mean,
I'm a little upset. Finnish? Maybe if like Jack Farmer was here, he would have said Alex Wright.
Das Wunderkind?
Yeah, Wunderkind? Dude, he was. What'd you say? Das Wunder what?
Das Wunderkind? That's his name?
That uses something else. I'll tell you off camera. Oh, man. I was a big Alex Wright mark, though. I thought he was so underrated, especially when he turned heel in 97.
The Wall, man. That was way better.
Dude, The Wall, Berlin and The Wall was great. The Wall is such a great wrestling name. It's so simple, but like, you know, like, oh, you're just going to crash against The Wall. Like, that's so like genius. I don't know why I'm surprised he didn't do anything in WWE.
Shout out to Berlin. Well, they tried copying that with DJ Gabriel, but that is besides the point.
Oh man, DJ Gabriel.
Yeah.
What a blast from the past. I love DJ Gabriel in that 2 weeks he was there.
That new talent initiative, that's a deep cut for you guys.
Dude, that was great. I love that.
I loved it. Remember when, what's his name? Sean Spears was Gavin Spears.
Who was the guy? Ricky Ortiz. Remember Ricky Ortiz?
Yeah, Atlas Ortiz. Yeah.
Yeah, he was great with the rally towel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Carlito haircut.
He did.
I think he's married to Layla.
What? Someone was living life. Okay, we got to get out of here before they cancel us. George, give me the rating for SummerSlam and tell the world where they can find you online.
I would say out of a 92, I'm going to give SummerSlam.
Why 92?
I don't know. Just give it a random number. Okay. Everybody does out of 100 or out of 10 or out of 5. Let's give it a number that nobody. You know what? Out of 37, let's do out of 37. There's been 37 SummerSlams. I'm going to say it is the fifth best SummerSlam of all time.
Whoa, that's high praise from a historian like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Number one is probably like 2002.
Okay, that's a good one. I'm a big fan of 15 though. That's besides my point.
Okay. So which one's 15? Oh, 2015?
Yeah, that was.
Were you there?
Lesnar. No, I went to 17. That was the one where Corbin faced the demon. That was 17? The last Brooklyn one. The last one in Brooklyn before they went
to the last Brooklyn one was 2018.
18.
I'm with that. I went to 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, there was a time where I went to a bunch of them. The only big four I haven't gone to was Survivor Series, but that's what's that. So this one, to me, after a normal rating, I want to say 8.5. Like I said, the pacing was kind of slow, but not in a bad way, very much a WrestleMania way, which I'm glad of because I think SummerSlam has needed some shine for a while. So I hope this starts off the importance or getting back the importance of the show, especially as it goes into two nights later on. So
yeah, but either way, I think this was, I thought it was a great show. And even more so, I think this has got me even looking forward to Raw and SmackDown even more than I usually. Obviously, with Roman Reigns and everything, I'm really curious if he's going to have that same kind of part-time schedule where, you know, in 2 weeks he's not going to be on SmackDown, but then they'll make some kind of announcement. And next week, Roman Reigns returns to SmackDown. So I'm really hoping that they were able to at least have him on this Friday. Just to kind of have his presence there. And I'm really curious if they're going to have Paul Heyman with them. I think he's, not to say that he's needed on SmackDown, but I feel like he adds so much to any show that he's on. And I can't wait to see where they go from here.
Absolutely. You can follow that guy at G Hermosa on that interwebs. Follow me at Flobo Boys. We will return right here on the Wrestling Inc. channel for Triple J on Monday night for Monday Night Raw after show. Look, we're doing these PLEs. It's still an extended experiment. Let us know in the comments below how we rock this. The man with the trivia, George Hermosa, the guy with the fan, Flobo Boys. We'll see you next time. Peace out, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.